Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Welcome back to Building Passive Income. I'm CREI Colin. Yesterday, we talked about finding deals in your target markets. We covered how to get on broker lists, visit markets, build relationships, and create consistent deal flow. Today, we're taking the next step. You've picked your market, you've found a deal. Now what? How do you evaluate it? How do you know if it's a good opportunity or a deal with hidden downside? That's what we're covering today. We're bridging the gap between market selection and deal evaluation. Let's get into it. Here's the thing. Market selection and deal evaluation are two different skills. Market selection is macro. You're looking at big picture trends, population growth, job creation, infrastructure. Deal evaluation is micro. You're looking at a specific property, the numbers, the condition, the tenants. Both need to align. A great deal in a bad market is still a bad investment, and a bad deal in a great market is also a bad investment. I learned this lesson early in my investing career. I found what I thought was an amazing deal. The numbers looked great on paper. Strong cash flow, good cap rate, everything checked out. But I didn't pay enough attention to the market. It was a declining tertiary market. Population was shrinking, jobs were leaving, and within 2 years, vacancy started climbing and rents started falling. The deal that looked great on paper turned into a headache. I ultimately exited at a loss. That experience taught me something critical. You can't evaluate a deal in isolation. You have to evaluate it in the context of the market. So today, I'm going to walk you through my exact process for evaluating a deal once I find it. Step 1. Does the deal fit your investment criteria? Before you do anything else, ask yourself, does this deal fit my criteria? This sounds obvious, but you'd be surprised how many investors skip this step. They get excited about a deal and start analyzing it, even though it doesn't fit their strategy. Don't do that. It's a waste of time. Time is your most limited resource. Protect it. Go back to your investment thesis. What are you looking for? Are you looking for cash flow or appreciation? Are you looking for value add or stabilized? What's your target return? What's your hold period? If the deal doesn't fit your criteria, move on. Don't waste time analyzing deals that aren't aligned with your strategy. Here's an example. Let's say your strategy is to buy value-add multifamily in secondary markets. You're targeting 15% to 20% IRR with a 5-year hold. A broker sends you a stabilized Class A property in a primary market. It's 95% occupied. Rents are at market. There's no value-add opportunity. It might be a great property, but it doesn't fit your strategy, so you pass. Stay disciplined. Stick to your criteria. Now, here's the caveat. Your criteria can evolve. As you gain experience, you might refine your strategy. That's fine. But don't chase every shiny object that comes your way. Step 2. Analyze the market fundamentals. Next, zoom out. Look at the market fundamentals. Even if you've already researched the market, check again. Markets change. I like to do a quick market check every time I evaluate a deal. It takes 15 to 20 minutes, and it can save you from making a big mistake. Focus on direction and consistency, not just absolute numbers. Here's what I look at: population growth. I go to the U.S. Census Bureau's Population Estimates Program. I look at the metro area's population trend over the past 5 years. Is it growing, Stable? Declining? I'm looking for positive growth relative to the market's history, peer metros, and the current cycle. I'm not looking for a specific threshold. I'm looking for momentum. Job growth. I go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Specifically, I use the Local Area Unemployment Statistics, or LAUS, for unemployment and labor force data. I also look at state and metro employment data for payroll employment trends. Again, I'm looking for positive momentum. Is the market adding jobs? Is unemployment low and stable? Rent growth. I check CoStar or local market reports. What's the rent growth trend? Is it accelerating? Decelerating? Flat? I also compare it to similar markets and recent local trends. Vacancy rates. What's the current vacancy rate? How does it compare to the historical average? Is occupancy healthy relative to that submarket and asset class? Occupancy norms vary, so I'm not looking for a hard number. I'm looking at the trend. New construction pipeline. How much new supply is coming online? Is new supply unusually high relative to existing inventory and recent absorption? If there's a massive amount of new supply, that's a red flag. It could put downward pressure on rents and occupancy. If the market fundamentals have changed since I last researched it, I dig deeper. Maybe a major employer announced layoffs. Maybe there's a policy change that affects the market. These things matter. They affect your deal. So always double-check the market before you dive into the property-level analysis. Step 3. Review the financials. Now, let's look at the numbers. This is where most investors spend the bulk of their time, and for good reason. The financials tell you whether the deal pencils. Start with the rent roll. This tells you who the tenants are, what they're paying, and when their leases expire. I look for red flags. High vacancy, below market rents, lease expirations concentrated in one period. Delinquencies. For example, if 30% of the leases expire in the next 3 months, that's a risk. You might have a wave of turnover. That means vacancy, turnover costs, and potential downtime. Next, review the operating statements. Look at the trailing 12 months, or T12. This shows you actual income and expenses. I go line by line. I compare each line item to my underwriting assumptions and to industry benchmarks. Here's what I'm looking for. Income. Does the rental income match the rent roll? Are there other income sources? Parking fees? Laundry? Pet fees? Are those income sources realistic, or are they inflated? Expenses. This is where assumptions can be overly optimistic. I look at property taxes. Are they current? Are there any pending reassessments? Insurance. Is the coverage adequate? Have premiums increased recently? Utilities. Who pays utilities? Are the costs in line with the property size? Repairs and maintenance. Does this seem reasonable, or is it suspiciously low? Property management fees. Is there a management fee? If the owner is self-managing, I add a management fee to my underwriting. If the expenses seem low, I dig deeper. I ask for historical data. I talk to property managers in the area. I get a sense of what's realistic. Next, I compare the T12 to the pro forma. The pro forma is the seller's projection of future performance. Are the projections realistic, or are they overly optimistic? For example, the seller might project 5% annual rent growth, but if the market is only growing at 2%, that's a problem. I stress test the projections. I run conservative scenarios. I make sure the deal still works, even if things don't go perfectly. Step 4. Understand the value-add opportunity. If you're looking at a value-add deal, you need to understand the opportunity. What's the plan? Are you renovating units, improving management, reducing expenses, adding amenities? Be specific. Don't just say, we'll increase rents. Say, we'll renovate 50 units at $10,000 per unit and increase rents by $150 per month. Also validate whether comparable properties have already achieved those rent levels. Then, stress test it. What if renovations cost more? What if rent growth is slower? What if vacancy increases during the renovation? Here's an example. Let's say you're buying a 100-unit property. 50 units need renovation. You plan to spend $10,000 per unit and increase rents by $150 per month. That's a $500,000 projected renovation budget, and you're projecting $90,000 in additional annual income. But what if renovations cost $12,000 per unit instead of $10,000? Now your budget is $600,000. That's an extra $100,000. What if you can only increase rents by $125 per month instead of $150? Now your additional income is $75,000 instead of $90,000. Run multiple scenarios. Make sure the deal still works even if things don't go perfectly. I also look at the execution risk. How long will the renovations take? Can you renovate units while they're occupied, or do you need to turn them vacant? Vacant renovations are faster, but they increase your vacancy rate. Occupied renovations are slower, but they minimize vacancy. You need to factor this into your underwriting. Step 5. Assess the physical condition. Numbers are important, but so is the physical condition of the property. If you're serious about a deal, visit the property. Walk the units. Look at the roof, HVAC, plumbing, and electrical systems. I like to walk at least 10 to 20% of the units. If it's a 100-unit property, I walk 10 to 20 units. I want to see a representative sample. I look at unit condition. Are the units in good shape, or do they need work? Common areas. Are they well maintained, or are they run down? Roof. How old is the roof? When was it last replaced? HVAC. Are the units individually metered? How old are the HVAC systems? Parking lot. Is the asphalt in good condition, or does it need resurfacing? Landscaping. Is the property well maintained, or does it look neglected? I also ask questions. When was the roof last replaced? How old are the HVAC units? Are there any deferred maintenance issues? Have there been any major capital expenditures in the past few years? You'll do a full property condition assessment during due diligence. But even at this early stage, you want to get a sense of the property's condition. Deferred maintenance is one of the fastest ways a deal can go sideways. For example, if the roof needs to be replaced and that's going to cost $200,000, you need to factor that into your underwriting. Step 6. Evaluate the competition. Next, look at the competition. What are comparable properties charging for rent? What amenities do they offer? How does your property compare? I like to do a comp survey. I identify 3 to 5 comparable properties in the same submarket. Then I visit them. I approach it from a tenant's perspective. I call and ask about rent, lease terms, and move-in specials. Sometimes I schedule a tour. This gives me a realistic sense of the market. It helps me validate my rent assumptions. For example, let's say your pro forma assumes $1,200 per month rent for a 2-bedroom unit, but when you visit comparable properties, they're only getting $1,050 to $1,100. That's a problem. Your rent assumptions are too aggressive. I also look at amenities. Does the competition have a pool, a fitness center, covered parking? If your property doesn't have those amenities, can you still compete on rent? Or do you need to add amenities? This is all part of understanding the competitive landscape. Step 7. Underwrite the deal. Now it's time to build your underwriting model. I use Excel. Some investors use specialized software like RealData or Argus. It doesn't matter. Use whatever you're comfortable with. Input all the data. Purchase price, rental income, operating expenses, capital expenditures, financing terms. Calculate your key metrics. Net operating income, NOI, cash on cash return, internal rate of return, IRR, equity multiple, debt service coverage ratio, DSCR. Returns matter, but durability of those returns matters more. Does the deal meet your return targets? Does it pencil? If not, can you renegotiate the price? Can you improve operations to hit your targets? Be honest with yourself. Don't force a deal to work. I also run sensitivity analyses. I change key assumptions and see how it affects the returns. For example, what if rent growth is 1% lower than projected? What if vacancy is 2% higher? What if expenses are 5% higher? This helps quantify downside risk. Step 8. Identify the risks. Every deal has risks. The question is whether they're understood and managed. Ask yourself, what could go wrong? What's the downside scenario? Can I still service the debt if things don't go as planned? Common risks include market downturn, higher than expected vacancy, slower rent growth, unexpected capital expenditures, tenant turnover, regulatory changes. If the risks are too high, walk away. There will always be another deal. I also think about my exit strategy. How will I exit this deal? Will I sell, refinance, hold long term? What needs to happen for the exit to work? Do I need to hit certain occupancy levels, certain rent levels? And is that exit dependent on market timing or operational performance? Make sure your exit strategy is realistic. A good deal isn't just one that works on paper. It's one that still works when things don't go as planned. All right, let's recap. To evaluate a deal, you need to 1. Make sure it fits your investment criteria. Don't waste time on deals that don't align with your strategy. Time is your most limited resource. 2. Analyze the market fundamentals. Check population growth, job growth, rent growth, vacancy rates, and new supply. Focus on direction and consistency, not just absolute numbers. 3. Review the financials. Look at the rent roll, T12, and pro forma. Verify income and expenses. 4. Understand the value-add opportunity and stress test it. Validate whether comparable properties have already achieved those rent levels. Make sure the deal works even if things don't go perfectly. 5. Assess the physical condition of the property. Visit the property. Walk the units. Identify capital expenditures. Deferred maintenance is one of the fastest ways a deal can go sideways. 6. Evaluate the competition. Visit comparable properties. Validate your rent assumptions. 7. Underwrite the deal and calculate your returns. Run sensitivity analyses to quantify downside risk. Returns matter, but durability of those returns matters more. 8. Identify the risks and decide if they're understood and managed. Think about your exit strategy. Is it dependent on market timing or operational performance? This is the bridge between market selection and full due diligence. You're moving from macro to micro, from big picture trends to property level analysis. Tomorrow, we're diving into due diligence. I'm going to give you a complete overview of what due diligence is, why it matters, and what you need to know. Thanks for listening. I'm CREI Colin. Let's keep building passive income together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free Passive Investor Coaching Program at PassiveInvestorCoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.